Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
The things, like we were just praying right now, you know, the things that the Lord speaks, they are true. And it's good to know and to hear the things that the Lord is saying to us. And it's good that we never take for granted the fact that the Lord speaks to us and that we can hear. But he's, you know, it's funny, you have to learn that it's been given to you to know. That you have to learn that it's been given to you to hear, that you can hear. Because there are people that have been saved, but even though it's interesting, even though that they were saved by hearing, right? Because they were saved by the hearing of faith. That's how they came into the kingdom, was by hearing. They heard and they believed that which they could have never heard otherwise, other than by the Spirit of God, right? It's an interesting thing. We were saved by hearing the Spirit of God, right? We heard the Spirit of God through another individual, but we heard the Spirit of God. And like we covered before, we could have never, with our own carnal mind, comprehended the cross and been saved, right? God didn't make us smarter. He didn't make our carnal mind more intelligent, right? But he spoke to us, right? And we supernaturally understood these things, right? And we were saved. And it's interesting how, you know, then even though such a miraculous thing happened, you know, we go on with life after being saved. And haven't yet, some people haven't even understood yet that they can hear the Spirit of God on the inside of them, that He's in there to speak to them. They don't understand why Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the church," right? They don't think that can happen. So this is true. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10. Let me show you a truth that's really good. I don't know, you know, maybe just if you can just raise your hand if you believe this, right? It is, if Christ is in you, can you just raise your hand? If Jesus is on the inside of you, if Christ is in you, right? Now watch this. So this applies to you. This applies to all of us. Watch what he says. Romans 8 and verse number 10, we're reading from a King James version, right? It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead." If Christ is in you, and all of us raise our hand, right, that Jesus is in us, Christ is in us, right? If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, there's a lot there, but I just want us to kind of dwell on that for a bit. If Christ is in us, the body is dead. So if we can think of this, right, when you look at dead as inactivity, right? Death is inactivity, right? Not active anymore. So we see, right? And things, when the Lord begins to show you something, things begin to click, right? Because maybe before you had read Galatians 2:20, it said, "It's no longer I that live." But you don't get that. Like, how is that? It's no longer I that live. How could I no longer live, right? If I'm talking to you right now. How could that be? It's no longer I that live. But Christ lives in me, right? He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, what? There was something that's interesting here, and we have to come back to it. But let me see if I show you this. Let me show you something, and then we're going to come right back to Romans chapter 8. The body is dead. I mean, the things that the Lord speaks, they're true, right? If the Lord says that if Christ is in you, check, that's me, the body is dead, I may not understand that, but it's true, right? I may not get it, and we're learning it, right? But he said the body is dead. The body is dead because of sin. So in Colossians, right? In Colossians chapter 2, right? Colossians 2:10, it says that you're complete in Him. Right, so this is bringing a lot of what it keeps kind of shining the light on. Right, the Lord keeps showing us like something happened after you were born again. Right, and just the word by itself, born again, something big happened. Right, you were born again. You were born once and then you were born again, right? And he's saying here, he's shedding the light on the Lord as far as our life, and it's saying that we're complete now in Him. Right? If we have Him, we're complete in Him. In Him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised. Circumcised, and now circumcised is the cutting away, right? Cutting away of flesh, or another way to say flesh is body, right? He said the body is dead. Here he's saying that we were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So that means that there was a circumcision that was made with hands, that it was just cutting off the flesh of the foreskin that was done on males, right? And here he's talking about, not about that one, not about that old circumcision, but he's talking about what that old circumcision symbolized. And he said, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made, it says, without hands, in putting off, he's telling you what the circumcision did that was made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what he's saying in there is that there was something that was going on prior to you being saved. And that something that was going on is that we were ruled by the body. Right? We were ruled by the body, and I'll show you that in a second. But here he says that in whom also we were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision that is of Christ. So in verse number 12, he explains a little bit more. What is this circumcision of Christ? It says that we were buried with Him. Now what does burial have to do with circumcision, right? You're talking to us about circumcision and how the body of sin, and that is understood, right? The body of sin, right? We were sinners. We were sinners, right? We were people that, in other words, sinners, why? Because we were ruled by the body, right? The body of, and here's an interesting thing, right? This is what Paul called it in Romans chapter 7. Who will free me, right? Or who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 6, he talks about how, right, how it says how there was a law of sin and of death that began from the time that Adam sinned. Sin and death. So there was a law of sin and death. Now, in our bodies, right, our bodies were ruled that way, by that law of sin and death. That's why it's called the body of death, and here it's called the body of sin. So the body of sin or the body of death is the body of sin and death, right? In other words, in Romans, I think it's 8. Not necessarily totally important, the chapter and verse right now. I can find it if you have the service if you want. But he says that those who are mindful of the things of the flesh, right? That those kind of things, mindfulness of the flesh or, right, a mindfulness of the flesh leads to death. But why is that, right? That a person whose mind, right, is what reigns in that person, right, is ruled by the body, then those type of things always end in death, right? In corruption. But he says, but we, says, we're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. It says, if indeed the Spirit of Christ lives in us, right? So it's an interesting thing the way he puts it. We started off talking about how if Christ is in you, the body is dead. And then he starts talking about circumcision, right? Circumcision, the cutting away of the body of sin. The cutting away of the body of sin. You see what it is that's happening? You see, that's darn good news, right? That we were controlled and ruled. We were slaves to the body. We were slaves to the body prior to salvation. And you mean to tell me now that after salvation, I'm no longer a slave to my body? That I don't have to entertain thoughts that say that I can't help myself? That I don't have to entertain thoughts that say that my body is just overcoming me? That I have this inner struggle within me? The body that wants to do good, the body that wants to do evil, and the spirit that wants to do good? You mean to tell me that there's not this battle going on the inside of me, that I can't help myself and I'm being tossed in this direction and in that direction? Because there's songs that sing about that stuff, right? But it doesn't matter whether Christians have written songs about it. Is it, what is the truth of the matter? You know what I'm saying? Because that's really what we want. We want to know what is the truth. And the Lord tells you the truth is the body is dead. So a thinking that goes along the lines to say that I'm still controlled by my body, by the cravings of it, that I have, by the lust of the flesh and by the lust of the eyes, and I have to just be driven that way, right? That's not true. That's not true for a Christian. That's not true at all. So, but the lack of knowledge of that, The lack of knowledge of that leaves you, where does it leave you? Listen, the reality is what? We're going to keep reading and keep learning about that. But the body was circumcised. The body of sins was circumcised, right? So, but here's the beautiful thing. If you don't know that, and it's not beautiful, but here's the thing. Where are you left? You're left with the reality of what's happened in you. The spirits of just men made perfect. You've been quickened and made alive unto God. We'll see that if we have time also, right? That we've been quickened and made alive unto God, meaning before you were not, right? But what's really happened now? Even though the reality of the greatness of what's occurred, the lack of knowledge of what's happened leaves you thinking like how? Like you used to think. How did you used to think? The same way you used to think, right? You couldn't help yourself. I can't help it. I'm only human. You know, what do you want from me? I'm not perfect. All those silly things that we used to say before, right, are not applicable to us anymore, but the mind still thinks that way, right? So what is it that it needs, right? It needs to be renewed to the what? To the reality of what He's done. What God has done is tremendous, right? What the Lord has done in our lives is huge. The liberty that He said needed to be preached to the captive is a real liberty. When Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, He really wasn't kidding. You were captive and He set you free. But the lack of knowledge of, because people holler about that, right? And they get all happy about it. I'm free in Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. But they don't know what that means. I'm free. I am not ruled by this body. So the whole thing, or I'm only human, I'm only not perfect, I can't help myself, none of those things were applicable to us anymore. But if we keep still, you hear people still talking that way. Very naturally referring to themselves as just mere people, just like everybody else, and just like I used to be. It's not, listen, it's not that people are bad, it's just the ignorance of not knowing what's happened. Right? All this stuff happens to you, and you didn't know. I mean, it's not like you felt an earthquake, right? So all this happened, but you don't know it happened, right? You didn't feel any different, right? I mean, maybe you were saved and kind of you feel the same. I don't know, right? He didn't say that you could feel the circumcision occurring to you, right? It's just the reality of what occurred and what happened, right? The fact that Christ is in you, you know, you don't feel Him moving around in you, right? You don't feel Him knocking around your rib cage, right? But you believe what? You know, the Lord is with me. He lives in me. My body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. But it's cool, even though you don't feel that, you know it, right? You know why? Because He's illuminated, He's given you revelation of the fact that, you know what? I dwell and live on the inside of you. I have come. Me and my Father have come and we have made our home in you. You believe that. You've come to understand that. So here's a good thing. He just keeps showing us. Look at verse number 12. Speaking about circumcision, now he's talking about the same thing, but he keeps elaborating about it. Now he doesn't call it cutting away of the flesh. Now he starts talking about death, burial, which is, he's talking about the identical thing, right? It's just that he's not talking about the death, right, of, he's talking about, in other words, circumcision and death are both the same thing. The cutting away of something is the death of it. In other words, it's been put off. So look at what he's saying in verse number 12. It says, we were buried with Him in baptism. Now, Pastor Mike talked about that several services ago, and we've seen that before, right? That baptism, right? When he speaks there about baptism, there really is only one baptism. You were only baptized once, and it's not talking about the baptism in water or the cleaning of the dirty things of your flesh, right? It's not talking about you took a bath. It's not talking about that you dunked in a tub with jeans on, right? Or that you were baptized, and they said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? And that's when something happened. That is an expression, an outward expression of a reality, right? You were baptized in the Spirit first and then you're baptized with water. But the baptism in water does not save, right? The baptism does save, right? I mean, that's when you're saved, right? You're actually truly saved when the Spirit of God comes to live in you. Well, look at it this way. Don't think of just salvation as just, you know, I guess in terms of maybe the way things have been reasoned before in our mind. But if you think of salvation as just plain old deliverance, right? When were you delivered from the body of death? Paul said, who, like, you know, I think like the old Superman, right? Like, and I forget exactly the words, but like who can help me, you know? And then here Superman can come. Or maybe that was Mighty Mouse. I don't remember. I'm kind of dating myself a little bit. But it was either Mighty Mouse or Superman. But the idea, though, is that, you know, who can help? Who can save? And then he says, thanks be to God. So Jesus Christ saved us, right? We were saved, right, over 2,000 years ago. But something happened when I accepted the truth, right? When I accepted what He did. You see the link here, right? Accepting what He did, you were saved. And then you spend the rest of your life doing what? Accepting what He did. Because you knew a little piece of what He did. You accepted the reality of the fact that you have the forgiveness of sins, right? And you understood to a certain point where your faith came right to an assurance of the fact that He is your Savior, right? And you accepted Him and He came to live in you. But when it really truly occurred, meaning in reality, when it occurred in you, right? When it occurred in you was when your flesh was circumcised and He came in. That was baptism, right? You were baptized with the Spirit, meaning He came in, and that day that He came in, that's when you were saved. You could have been believing, but you are not saved until that occurs, right? Because baptism saves, right? And here, this is what He's talking about here. Buried with Him in baptism. So we were buried with Him in baptism. So, but why does it refer to baptism as burial, right? Because when we were baptized, right, that's when the flesh was cut off. The body died. That's when the body died. That's when the body died, right? If Christ be in you, the body is dead. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. Here He said, we were buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead. And you, look at what it says now, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Hold on a second. So the buried in baptism, right? The buried in baptism. Now here it says also that you who were, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. So this is not talking about the death when you were circumcised, right? Right? Because this is talking about you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. So what is the uncircumcision of your flesh is when before your flesh was circumcised, right? So before your flesh was circumcised, you were ruled by the body. But why is it said that we were dead in our sins? Right? We were dead in our sins. And then it talks about after you're circumcised, it talks about a burial also. So it's funny, right? Because Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that before he was saved, he was alive. Right? That before he was saved, he was alive, right? And then it says, then he died, right? But here's the beautiful thing, that he was then risen, right? But what we were risen from, right? In other words, there was a death. What it's referring to here is there was a death of the body, but prior to salvation, the body was not dead. So there is one death there, right? There was a death of the body. That's one death, right? But prior to that, right? Prior to that, death had come in, and it says we were dead in our sins. So we were dead in our sins, and if we can kind of put it like this to paraphrase it a little bit, we were dead in our sins, which means we were alive to our body. Dead to our sins and alive to our body. Right? Then our body died and now we're alive unto God. Right? So death is being spoken of there, but if you look at it this way, activity, right? If we look at death or being dead as inactivity, right? Right? The Spirit of God was inactive in our life before salvation, but our body was active, right? Then our body died, which means the body becomes inactive, and our spirit has been made alive. So now the Spirit of God is active, right? So what we're talking about is the inactivity of one and the activity of another. But it's awesome to know, listen, how could you live as a Christian if you think that sin, that's a huge thing, right? That people believe that sin is active on the inside of them. That there is a power of sin on the inside of them that's active in them, but that's not true at all. Right? That's not true at all. Because the body of sin is dead. If Christ is in you, the body of sin is dead. So isn't it awesome news to be able to understand that the body of sin is dead, so therefore you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, so you don't have to feel like there's this struggle. See, the struggle is a mental thing, right? Because in your mind, you're thinking still in many ways like you used to before, but thank God for the renewal of our mind, right? Thank God that He says that we should be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that our mind should be renewed in order that we might know the things that have been freely already given to us by God. That if you can continue to learn and know, you know what? I don't have to struggle against my body because that's already been overcome, right? My body has already been cut off. I'm not trying to struggle to keep my body from making me sin, right? I mean, so if you have an anger problem,
It's just, you know, something just rises up from the inside of me and I just can't help myself. That's not true. That's not true. That anger is in your mind, right? But if you know that you are ruled in you, what is active is the Spirit of God and not your flesh, and that what is lacking is just knowledge of what's occurred, right? Knowledge of what happened, knowledge of what He's done, then you know that you don't have to constantly feel, you know, it's this inside feeling in your mind like you have to give in to it because you can't fight against it. It's too powerful. The body is too powerful. I mean, it may have been that way before. It may have been that way before, because even though in your mind you wanted to do good before, in you was nothing that was going to help you do good. In you was nothing, right? In other words, the Spirit on the inside of you was not active on the inside of you to lead you into all of this truth that He's done to show you the beauty of what's occurred, right? He wasn't active on the inside of you. He wasn't the one that was working in there, right? There's the Spirit that was prevalent in our lives, right? In the sons of disobedience. In other words, the ones that at a time when you did not believe. There was something else at work in you, right? And it wasn't the Spirit of God. So it's good. It's so good to know. It says, and you, it says, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcised of the flesh, hath He what? Look at what He did. He's quickened us together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So that forgiven, it's awesome to see He delivered you, right? He forgave you of your trespasses, which means you were delivered. You were delivered. You're free, right? So in Isaiah 61, where the Lord talks about, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him, right? That He's come to preach deliverance, freedom to the captive, right? Right? He wasn't talking about just people in prison behind bars, right? He was talking to people that all were all were captives, all were prisoners. He was talking to the Pharisees, and He was telling them, right, how they needed to be free. And you know their response to Him was, we're not in bondage to anyone. Right? We're sons of our father Abraham, right? We're not in bondage to anyone. We're not slaves to anyone. And He says, anyone that sins is a slave of sin. Anyone that sins is a slave of sin. But why is that? But you would say, but hold on. But so you saying, because if I do things wrong, are you saying now that if I'm doing things wrong, then I'm a slave to sin? But here's the beautiful thing. We need to know, right? We need to know, we need to be reminded that he said that, you know what? That we are slaves to Him that we obey. That we are slaves to Him with you. Let me see if I can find that for you. Let me see if I can find that for you. I think it is somewhere around, I want to say Romans 6, but let's see. All right, it was Romans 6. Good. So look at what he said. It says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, you yield yourselves to obey. It's good, right? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves to obey, His servants or slaves, you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or look at it, or of obedience unto... Isn't that an interesting thing? He says that who you obey, whether of sin or of obedience... So you're like, of obedience? What do you mean of obedience? I mean, I get it if you obey sin, but that's the question that we're asking, right? If I sin, right? If I do something that I say, okay, that's sin, well then is there a difference, right? And many, many services ago, several services ago, this came up, right? About a sin leading to death and sin that does not lead to death, right? But here what he says is, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And look at verse number 17. But God be thanked, because he's going to explain this. He's going to explain that little bit right there, right, about obedience, right? He says, or of obedience unto righteousness. So you can either obey sin, right? You can obey sin, or you can be obedient. If we'll just stay there and stop there, right? You can obey sin or you can be obedient. It's kind of the way he's wording it here, right? You can obey sin or you can be obedient. So the thing to find out is, what is it to be obedient? Because if I can be obedient, then I know, right? Then I know that I'm not a slave of sin. So what's the difference? How do I know if I'm a slave of sin or if I'm obedient, right? So he says, but God be thanked that ye, it says, were the servants of sin. So he's saying now, he's telling you past tense, right?
And he's speaking to people that will say, you were a slave of sin. But why were you a slave of sin? Because we already saw that, right? The body of sin and death. The body of sin or the body of death. When you were ruled by the body, you were a slave to the body. Or to what? To sin. If you were a slave to the body, you were a slave to sin. If you were a slave to the body, you were a slave to what? To death. The law of sin and death, right? Thank God we've been delivered from that. But he says, but God be thanked that you were, that ye were the servants of sin. But what does he say now? He tells you what the obedience was. But you have obeyed from the heart. He defines what obedience he was talking about. You've obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine, right? That form of doctrine which was delivered you. So what is he talking about there, right? That you were taught, right? You were taught by the Spirit of God, because that's what the new covenant is, right? The new covenant is, and they, he said, and they shall be taught of the Lord. They will be taught by what? By the Spirit of God, right? We would be taught. So we who have been taught, we have obeyed what? From the heart. We have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that teaching. We have obeyed the teaching of the Spirit of God, right? But see, but that's a beautiful thing. Obeyed the teaching, right? Obeyed the teaching. Because what we do is we spend time trying to tell us, but that can't be true. Because what I feel, like this rage, or this lust, or this thing, or this impatience, or this hatred, or this whatever that you say you feel it so real, right? And you say, but it must be real. There must be something on the inside of me. There must be sin. There must be something. It's what? It's an unrenewed mind. If you don't think and you don't know something has changed, right? How can you act like something has changed when you don't think it's changed, right? If you don't think that it's changed, even though the reality of what's happened is true, you won't accept. I mean, it's the same thing again as salvation, right? If you didn't think, if you did not understand with something other than your carnal mind that you could be saved, you would not be saved. You would not have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? And you would not have been saved. So it's just a beautiful thing to understand what it is to hear from the Spirit of God. Right? Hear what he says and believe what he says. To hear what he says and believe what he says. And he said that we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then, it says, made free from sin, you became what? The servants or the slaves of righteousness. See, we don't teach that enough, I don't think, right? I mean, you could be sick and tired of hearing people speak to Christians about them stop giving in and being enslaved to their sin, but how often are you instructed and taught over and over again that you are actually a slave of righteousness, right? Everybody understands what a slave of sin is. Everybody got it. Down pat. They got it down. I know what being a slave of sin. Oh, I can feel what it's like to not want to do something, and the very thing you don't want to do, that's the very thing that you do, right? It's talking like Paul, as an unsaved man, right? But that's not the truth. What did we say? We started the service thanking God for the fact that the things that he speaks are true. And every man, including your own thoughts, lies. Anything that speaks contrary to God is a lie. And that, for some people, believe it or not, is way radical, right? Anything that speaks against what God says is a lie. That's not actually that radical at all. Actually, it's not radical in the least, right? Now, to some people, it may think that. So you're saying anything that anybody speaks against God is wrong? Yeah, that's a lie. Yes, it's a lie. If it goes contrary to what God says, it's a lie. And what the Lord says is, you're slaves of righteousness. Slave of righteousness, right? So he says, look, he's not speaking after this manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. In other words, he's not saying because you're sick or you have a cold. He's saying the infirmity of your flesh, meaning weakness of not being able to understand. He uses words like slave and in bondage and all of these things because of the infirmity of the flesh, which is just saying the lack of understanding, right? He says, for as ye have yielded, and he's talking about in times past, right? As you have yielded your members service to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. That was not hard, right? I mean, I don't know how many of us struggled when we were unsaved, struggled with trying, right, to do the wrong thing. We just really couldn't make ourselves cheat on our taxes. I mean, we couldn't make ourselves get away with things that we could just get away with. We couldn't make ourselves do things and lust after things and desire things and go after worldly things. Right? That came what? It came naturally. Right? Because you were taught and heard growing up and developed a philosophy that you're only human. That these things are natural for things to happen. Right? Because you were born with a sinful nature and that just came from Adam and it wasn't your fault. It's all his fault, right? And when we get to heaven, we'll all get Adam. Right? But it was all his fault and all his doing. But in reality, what happened? Right? You were accustomed. You had a philosophy of what it was to live like that. So he said you would yield yourself easily to members of uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Right? But even so now, it says yield your members servants unto righteousness unto holiness, right? And that yielding is what? That yielding just comes from the mind. Obedience of the heart. Yielding your heart to allow the Lord to be able to speak to you and teach you and show you the magnitude of what he's done. What does it mean when he said, and let's go back there again in Romans chapter 8, right, in verse number 10. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10. When he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. Life because of righteousness, right? You have been given the right by God. The right by God, right? He's made you righteous in his sight. And you've been given the right to life. The right to life, right? To be able to partake of what? Life in you instead of death that used to be in you, right? You don't have, in other words, you don't have to partake of that anymore because it's not in you, it's in the world, right? It's not in you, it's in the world. It's not that you can't have a bad thought because you're going to hear bad things in this world, right? And right, and you still have leftover stuff from before. But the renewing of your mind, it's awesome what that does. Hearing the Lord Jesus, how he trans... See, you don't have to study and memorization and all of these things to get him to do it, but listening to him. He's the one with the sword in his hand. He's the one that brings down walls, right? Pastor Mike was talking about that a little bit when he was referring to the little logo, right? On Friday nights where you see two little bricks there, right? Falling. Two bricks that are falling and behind was just a brick wall. And it showed like two bricks that are falling. Isn't it an awesome thing that you don't have to bring the walls down, right? The commander, right, of heaven's armies, right? The commander that was there, that was speaking to Joshua, he was the one that brought the walls down, not Joshua, right? He was the one that brought the walls down. You don't have to try to bring the walls down, right? You don't have to sing until they fall down, right? You don't have to make the walls fall down, right? The Lord is the one that brings down that thinking, right? He's the one that takes thoughts captive, right? He's the one with the sword. He's the one that brings things down. So good to know. That's why he told Mary, he says, she has found the good thing. She's found the thing that's needful. She's doing what needs to be done. I'll do the rest in her heart, right? I'll do the rest in her heart. She's hearing, I'll do the rest in her heart. She's hearing, my God, I'll do the rest in her heart. What a restful thing that is. What a restful thing that is. You know, isn't it an interesting thing that when you read this, if Christ be in you, the body is at rest. Because, right, isn't that what they say? When someone dies, rest in peace. Right? Why do they say that? Rest in peace. Because the person is dead, right? Rest. Rest. Now, the Hebrews talks clearly about the rest that comes through believing, right? The rest that comes through believing. But look at what he says. If Christ be in you, the body is at rest. The body is at rest because of sin. Why? Because Christ says, crucified, right, our sins, the body of death. In other words, sin was nailed, right, was crucified. His body was crucified, right, in order to what? To pay for our sins, right? So sin was condemned in the flesh, the Bible says. Sin was condemned in the flesh. So that was paid. It was done. The righteousness then of the law fulfilled in you by the same way. The righteousness of the law fulfilled in you. Why? Because your sin was nailed to the cross. So it says that the body, if Christ be in you, the body is at rest because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And it says, but if the spirit of him, look at what it says, but if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's talking about you, right? If it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, which he does, and we all acknowledge that at the beginning of the service, right? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, the same one, if he's in you, the same one that raised up Christ from the dead, it says, shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Life. it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives. Why? Because if He's in me, He's the one that quickens my body now. Do you see what it is that He's talking about? Listen, go way out there with me, right? Way out there with me. A body, a living, right? Where it is totally all Jesus. Every thought, every action. Where it's no longer I that do it, but my Father in me that does the work. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said that, right? He's not, it's not I that do it, but it's the Father in me that does the work. Everything that I speak is because I hear the Father, from the Father, right? So what is that? That's a life lived by the Father working in Him, right? We limit our existence currently now. Because we don't think that it's even possible for that to happen. That you could get to a place in your life where it is all God, all the time, everything you say, everything that you do, it's all Him, 100% of the time, right? We don't think that possible, so we don't even go in that direction. But that's what He says. He says, if the Spirit is in you, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You're not under any obligation. Listen, those are such huge, beautiful words. Listen, you're under absolutely no obligation to the body at all. Ever. There's not a second in your day where you are under obligation to anything in this body. Nothing that it wants. Nothing. Nothing. That's the only way you go out without eating for 40 days and 40 nights and not drop dead. That's the only way something like that happens, right? Because you're not subject to it. And people could say, well, no, I don't believe that. That must have been something else. No, it's not that. It's that when you can live by the Lord, and supernatural things can happen that are outside of normal human living. Outside of, how can you step outside of normal human living when that verse continues to come to pass in our life from our hearing and understanding what He's done? That verse is so deep. It's no longer I that live. I mean, I don't even know how you keep going. How do you get past that? It's I don't live. You haven't even said Christ lives in me. Just getting over that first piece, right? It's no longer I that live. If it always feels like it's you living, there's more. If it always feels like it's you living, there is more. There is more. How do you get more? Listen and hear, and He'll teach you what He's done. The Spirit of God will lead you into truth, not into lies, and will teach you the things that have been freely given to you through all of the work that He's accomplished. So in other words, He's going to show you what I did, and here's what I did. Do you know what that would have done for me? If me at 15, 14 years old, 16 years old, the things that I saw, the things that I did, the stuff that happened in my life that I never had to go through? I mean, why? Because we think like all young men and women have to go through all of this stuff in the world. That's not true. That's not true. We don't all have to go through all of the junk in this world. That's not the reality of what it can be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine even the rest of your life? Even the rest of your life. Just hearing the Lord, understanding, and Him teaching you all that He's done. The reality of what He actually finished in you. Look at what He says. He says, therefore it says, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do, look at what He says, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What is He saying? That by the Spirit is how the deeds of the body are put to death. This now, even though the body has been, right, has been put to death, the body is at rest. Right? Yet in many ways in our life, we still empower that which has no power, right? So he says to understand that you can live after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Right? That's how we live. For as many, look at verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, always leading you into truth, always showing you what He's done. He says that those that are led by the Spirit, we are sons of God. So you can hear Him. Right? You can hear Him and therefore you're led. You can hear Him and therefore you're led. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received, look, you have not received, the Spirit that you received was not the spirit of bondage again to fear. the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Listen, the things that God says, let me just show you something, because I'll share this just briefly, right? I was sharing with Miss Kim earlier today. Can we turn over real quick to Psalm 91? Just because I like that when he says that you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? Psalm 91, look at verse number 1. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, right? So there is a place, right? The Most High place, right? The highest place, right? Right? We were learning about that several services ago, right? And you had heard it maybe for the first time, or you heard it after, right? The Most High place. In other words, the highest heaven, right? He that dwells in that highest heaven, right? And he's speaking about people here. He that dwell with God in that highest place. He that has ascended, right, unto Mount Zion, right? That's where we have come. We have ascended up. He said that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you shall abide, when that happens, if that's happened to you and you have ascended, it says, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now these are just things that are true things that have occurred. Now watch what happens when you recognize and learn, right, what has happened and what he did, that we have ascended. Look what he says. I will say of the Lord, when you know, this is how you will speak. When you know what has happened and where you have ascended to you and who you are with and who is on the inside of you and who has brought heaven into you so that you can dwell and be where Jesus said that they will be with me where I am. That they may be with me where I am. Look at how he says, you will speak. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely, it says, he'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Thank God he's done that already. Surely he has already delivered us, right? From the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thank God, right, that he says that. That the truth is that we don't have to fear. The Lord will never speak to you something that brings fear. Never. You'll never hear the Lord speak to you something, and when he says it, fear comes. When you hear things of this world, things that are not from God, there are things that you could hear, and they can grab you, and fear feels like it went right through you, right? But you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear, because that's of this world. You don't have to hear the liar. You don't have to hear the liar. The liar is just a liar, right? Thank God that what he speaks is truth. He says, thou shalt not be afraid, it says, for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor it says, the destruction that wasteth, it says, at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, right? What, see, people think, listen, it's just even in the simplest thing. Flu season, everybody gets flu, I'm going to get it. Now, why do people think like that? Because they don't see themselves as a part. They see themselves subject to everything, to all the corruption, to all of the death in this world. They don't see themselves having been translated out. They don't see themselves with a spirit on the inside of them that gives them life. Here's the difference. If I have a spirit in me that gives me life, and I have a coworker who doesn't have the spirit in them that gives them life, and flu comes and it hits them, why does it need to hit me? Because I think, not because it's what's happened, not because I have to subject myself to it, but because I think in my mind that I am subject to it. So if it's flu season, I'm going to get the flu. It's things that natural that don't allow us to move forward, right? Right? Because we don't see ourselves as separate. What do we think holy means? Do we think that God made our face pretty? And that's what holiness is? He says, he made us holy. Holy is separated us, sanctified us, brought us apart, right? He made us separate from this world, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. What reigns in the kingdom of darkness? Death, corruption, sickness, disease, right? Do those things reign in the kingdom of the dear Son, right? They don't. That's what we've been translated to. But of course, people don't think like that. Why? Because, well, that's too far-fetched. You're trying to tell. We're still on this earth. That's the big excuse, right? We're still on this earth. Well, that's what he just said. Right? That's what he just said. Jesus prayed. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in it. We are kept in this world. How are we kept in this world? Not just being, God is not just speaking words to us to cheer us up so we can make it through this world that's living hell on earth, and then, but he keeps cheering us up so we can bear it, right? That's not how it is. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. take heart, I've overcome the world, right? He says, look, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall that behold and see the reward of the wicked. There are no wicked people in heaven. There are no wicked in heaven. When is it talking about? Right? He's talking about now. There are no wicked people in heaven. There's no one in heaven where I'm going to see with my eyes and behold the reward of the wicked, right? That's talking about now. That's talking about that you will see people that don't acknowledge God in their lives, and you see things happening on them, and 10,000 of those people and things could be happening around you, but it will not come near you. Why? You have a Passover lamb, right? Death came to all the Egyptians, but it passed over them, right? It passed over the Jew. Why? Because of the blood of the lamb and because of the meat of the lamb, right? Passed over them because of the lamb. Thank God. Passed over them because of the lamb. It says, because thou, look at what it says, because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, that habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why does it keep referring to dwelling? Is it that God knows your address and he says, okay, right? 16 Crescent Place in Middletown, New York is off limits, right? What's with the dwelling? What's with the habitation? Does God keep record and then tell demons to stay away? Or is it that they just see bright lights and they know not to come by, right? It's who we're in. It's who we dwell in and who dwells in us. It's the place that we are in. It's the place, right, of the Most High that we're in, right? He is our refuge. We're in Him, right? We're in Him. It's so good to know. So good to know. It says, He shall give His angels, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. It says, Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. It says, under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Right? Because we know the Lord, because he is ours and we are his. Right? He says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that's David writing in the Old Covenant. And a lot of these things are written from that perspective, from an old covenant perspective, but yet with much truth and revelation, though, of what was to come that's ours, right? It's just so good. It's so, so good to see. You know, the things that God speaks, it is contrary to the world. It doesn't sound like the world. It doesn't sound like we used to think. But can I tell you something? If we limit what we will receive to what makes sense to us, right? To our former way of thinking, right? Isn't it good that the Lord says, leave that former conversation and that old way of thinking, right? But receive with gladness the engrafted word, right? The word that God has put on the inside of you. Receive that with gladness and forsake that, right? Forsake that old way of thinking and receive with gladness the word of life that's on the inside. Listen, it's not going to sound like it used to sound. It's not going to sound like that way. It's going to speak of life and of truth, right? But that's the stuff that you want to learn. That's the stuff that you want to accept, right? The reality of what's happened. If Christ is in you, the body is dead. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. Let me leave you with something else before we close. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Let's go there real quick. Colossians 3 and verse 3. All right, one. Look at what he says. If you then be risen with Christ. In other words, if the body of sin was cut away and you have risen to new life, right? Now you have, your spirit is active, right? Active. The Spirit of God on the inside of you, united with your spirit, is active on the inside of you. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ, see the mindset? What are you seeking? Not the normal, everyday, common garbage of this world. Not expecting the same old thing. Flu season, I get flu. Sick, I get sick, right? If somebody shoots me, I die. Why is that true? If somebody shoots me, I die. Why is that true? Right? Listen, I get it. I get the human limitation. I understand that. But that's not the spirit that we're from. I mean, how do you walk around a wall? How do you walk around a wall for 6 days and expect it to fall? I mean, those must be some mighty footsteps. How do you expect that? You didn't do nothing. You just just walk around a wall six times for 6 days. What does that do? It does nothing. Nothing. But for a man that would believe that the commander of the Lord's army would be the one that has given him the victory, that man led an army around that wall knowing the city was already given to them, not would be given to them, not what God would do. It was theirs already. It was his. He says they would go into the land and take what God had already given to them, right? It's partaking from a harvest that's, it's just there. The riches of the Spirit of God are sitting on the inside of us, and we act like nothing's happened, right? But the only reason why we act like that sometimes is just because we don't know. But look at what he says. He says, if we be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. In other words, live as though you're already there, right? Because that is here. You possess that which is heavenly on the inside of you. So you can seek the things that are above. Why? Because the things above are in you now, right? So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are what? You are dead. It's not that you're gonna die, right? It's that you are dead. Well, if I'm dead, how am I seeking? I don't know, right? So obviously, it's clear, right? So the body is dead. So what he's saying, you're dead. The body's dead. So allow the Spirit of God to give you the desires of your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to give you the desires of a heart, which is that affection on the things above. Desiring the things that are heavenly and not just mere earthly things, right? Living that way. Just a life living that way. How do you live that way? Just listening and hearing so we can learn what he's done. It's not what God's going to do in your life. It's not what he's going to do in your life. It's what he's done already and the things he's going to teach you in your life about what he's done. It's not what God is going to do in your life. It's the teaching that he's going to the things he's going to show you about what he has done. You are dead. And look at what he says. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And he is loving to open it and unhide it. In other words, for it to be clearly shown to you. Your life is hid with Christ, but he's not hiding it from you, right? He wants to reveal it to you so you can see it. Your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it talks about fornication and all that. Let's just go up a little bit more. There's a few more verses. And he talks about, I don't even know how to pronounce that word. I don't even know if I do that or not, or used to do that. Sorry. That thing. And covetousness, right? And it says, which is idolatry, right? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon. You see that right there? The children of what? Disobedience. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. How do you know if you're a child of disobedience? Because he taught us before. What is obedience? Obeying from the heart, the form of doctrine which was delivered to us, and we received the Lord as, right? We were saved. That's obedience. So that makes you not a child of disobedience. Therefore, are you under the wrath of God? No. Right? You're not. The wrath, it says, which things for the sake of the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime. In other words, you used to walk that way when you lived in them, but now, you see the truth of that, right? He says, but now it's different. You used to walk that way, but not now. But now you put off these things. Anger. Thank God that that's a good thing, right? If you have ever dealt with that, anger, right? It's come up several times already. If anger was a thing and you thought you were still struggling with anger, not no more. Listen, before the Lord was teaching us, I think today is Wednesday, so Sunday, that there is no problem, right? There is no problem. There is no problem, right? And that's a different service, right? That was last service. But here, there is no struggle. There's no struggle, right? You don't have to try to fight anger. You don't have to go to anger management classes. Why are you going to manage something, right, that's not present? Right? It's just a lie. A lie of old thinking. A lie of old thinking. Either God is a liar and the body has not been cut away, or the body has been cut away and the world is a liar and my thinking stinks, right? So we fix our thinking by hearing him, and then he teaches you what? But now it says, you also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off what? Not that you will put off. Not that you will put off, but it calls the body the old man. And that's not your daddy, right? It says the old man with his deeds. Why does he say put off the old man with his deeds? Because with his deeds he was put off, which means inactivity, right? The body was cut off with its deeds. In other words, with its working, with its activity. It's no longer active. It's not the active part of you anymore. The Spirit of God is. You live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. And so he says, put off the old man with his deeds. And look at what verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is like what, right? Which he says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, right? So it's just a beautiful thing to see, right? That as our mind is renewed, the new man, which we have put on, right, becomes what? Fruitful in our lives, the operation of the Spirit of God. So now, what do you see happening in your life? Right, as you acknowledge God and you allow Him to teach you what He's done, you know what you're going to see? Instead of anger, right? You're going to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Listen, you don't see those things by trying to control anger, right? You can try to control anger and you're going to be dealing with something that's already dead.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.